As we turn to God's Word this afternoon, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage, so verses 10 to 20, dealing with the putting on the whole armor of God. If you're not making that connection as soon as we read, you will. That is the passage that we are going to be looking at, and we're going to be focusing on the last couple of verses there in Ephesians 6 as Paul deals specifically in the context of the armor of God, deals specifically with the issue of prayer and praying for ourselves and for one another, praying for the church. You'll notice that all written for you there in the bulletin. And so I've chosen just, in one sense, randomly to connect it, of course, in terms of Catechism, Lord's Day 45. You could turn there with me, page 893. In the back of your Psalter hymnal. And I want to read a couple of those questions and answers, and you will see, of course, the echo here of what the Apostle Paul is bringing forth in the verses that we are going to look at together. I want to read the first three. So question and answer, Lord's Day 45, 116. The question is, why do Christians need to pray? The answer, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. And then 117, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. And then 118, why has God commanded us to what has God commanded us to ask of Him? And the answer, everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And then, of course, that last question and answer is a reiteration of the Lord's Prayer. And so you can see that this question, this Lord's Day, is dealing with the broad theology, if you will, of prayer in the context of the Christian life, in the context of the church. And again, you'll hear echoes, certainly, I trust, in those words of summary, in the point that the Apostle Paul is making. And so I want you now to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, an extremely well-known portion of God's Word, and most often associated with the armor of God. But as I'm going to read the verses 10 to 20, and we'll be focusing our attention for the sermon in verses 18, 19, and 20. And so the section there that deals specifically with prayer. But Ephesians 6, beginning now at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That is the word of our God. So as we come to this passage and this theme this afternoon, this theme of prayer for ourselves and prayer for one another, prayer for the church collectively as we kind of comprise the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to look at the words of the Apostle Paul here as he concludes this section typically known dealing or typically known as dealing with the whole armor of God. It's undisputable as you look at these verses that the Apostle Paul brings this section to a conclusion with the theme of prayer. He deals with the whole armor of God, and he details that armor of God. And I'm sure many of us have heard much in regards to that armor of God. And then as he comes to the end of this section, he very specifically transitions to the theme of prayer. He doesn't do this by accident, of course. We don't believe that. There is a vital connection between what the Apostle Paul is speaking of in the opening verses of chapter 6, the whole armor of God passage, and where he brings these things to conclusion. What he does in this passage, again, just looking at it broadly, is he is using militaristic language. He is using language of the military. He is using language of battle. He is using language of war. And why we call it the whole armor of God, as Paul there commands us and commends us to put on the whole armor. And you have there, and you might have heard much here in this section of a Roman, you know, soldier, and the different parts of the armor. This is language of war. This is language of battle that he is calling us to. And he concludes the whole thing on this theme of prayer. And so what I want to put in your head, and I've chosen these two sermons today on purpose, they fit together, is as we were looking this morning, for those of us who were here, and we think of the world in which we live, we think of the chaos in the world in which we live, and we talked about that this morning, the particular struggles that we have and that we're dealing with across the globe. We know, as we think about that chaos, we know that we are in a fallen world, and we know that not everyone loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there are those who are dead set against him. And we live in that world. We long for the day when that will be done, and we don't have that reality anymore. But the reality is for us now that we live in the midst of conflict. We live in the midst of a battle. We live in the midst of spiritual warfare. The language is unmistakable. As the Apostle Paul is bringing this book of Ephesians to a conclusion, where does he leave us? He says, listen, put on the armor. Get ready for battle. Because it is indeed a battle. This life is a battle. There is a direct connection between this concept, this reality of the Christian life as a battle, and what the Apostle Paul is encouraging us in these verses dealing with praying for ourselves and praying for one another. And it's those that connection that I want to deal with this afternoon with you. And so as we look at verses 18, 19, and 20, we will of course do that in the broader context of this passage. And so where we're going to begin, as you see there in your bulletin, is dealing with the battle. I want to flesh this out a little bit in terms of what the Apostle Paul is understanding when he is calling us to arms. What is his understanding of the battle? What is it? What is the heart of that battle? What does it look like? And once we begin to understand the parameters of that battle, then it becomes abundantly clear, I trust, as to why the Apostle Paul transitions to this call to pray always for ourselves And then he says, likewise, for all the saints. Right? His call to prayer for the church flows out of a proper understanding of the battle that we are engaged in. And so what we're going to do is look at the battle first, and then we are going to transition specifically to what the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to when it comes to praying for ourselves, and then, of course, to pray for one another, prayer for the church. So let's begin together this afternoon looking at the battle. Why we began reading at verse 10 is because this, as you look at verse 10, you will see the word finally. Paul is bringing his whole argument of the book of Ephesians to a conclusion. Finally, my brethren. And when we come to see that word finally, this is the grand crescendo. This is the point of the Apostle Paul. He has been building up to this point. And so when we see this word finally, we sit up and take notice and say, okay, how is Paul going to summarize everything that he said, a glorious book of Ephesians? How is he going to summarize? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. This battle that we are engaged in, this reality of light and darkness, of faith and unbelief, you know, the battle that we are engaged in, the Apostle Paul says, in summary fashion, before he gets into the particulars of what we're supposed to put on and all of those kind of things, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Our aim in the battle, which is the Christian life, is to be strong in the Lord. In fact, I will say it even more strongly, that as we look and kind of dissect this section in the broader context of the book of Ephesians, I will put forward to you that this is our battle. That our battle is that we be strong in the Lord. That is what the Apostle Paul is calling us to be strong in the Lord. That is what we are going to be pulled away from. That is what we are going to struggle with. To be strong in the Lord. That is our battle. You see, this is the theme of the Apostle Paul from the very beginning of this book. He does not just drop this, and this is why I say this is the grand crescendo. This is Paul bringing everything together in the book. Yes, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Well, if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Ephesians 1. We won't do this at great length, but you want to connect where Paul begins to where Paul ends. And you're going to see the glorious book ends where the Apostle Paul has started. He is now just reminding us. The great chapter 1 of Ephesians, it's a favorite for many. Glorious chapter. What is the theme of the Apostle Paul as you begin reading these verses in Ephesians? I won't read the whole chapter, but as I read portions of it, just listen for the language of in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus. He says there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. In him we have redemption, verse 7. All the way through, in him, through him. This is where the Apostle Paul begins. In fact, as we think about it, and I'll summarize it for us in chapter 1, what we have here of the Apostle Paul is he is explaining to us the blessings, right? Blessed, as we talked this morning, blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Here we have, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, not with some things, not with a majority of things, but who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, every one of them, every last one, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are united to Him by faith, as we are our roots go deep into the Lord Jesus Christ, we have every spiritual blessing given to us in Him. And then He goes on and simply expounds, right? We are holy and blameless in Him. We are adopted into the family of God. Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We have redemption and the forgiveness of sins in and through Him. He says to us there, we have already obtained an inheritance. And we know what that inheritance is. It is God Himself. As we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, He says it's not that we are only waiting, that it's not ours, but it will be. We have already obtained an inheritance. That inheritance is already ours. We are waiting for the consummation of it, and it comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the Spirit as a guarantee, as He goes on there in chapter 1, of those blessings that we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, almost as an understatement of this section, He concludes, all to the praise of the glorious grace of God. He is just bending over backwards to remind us here at the outset of the book of Ephesians that every blessing that we come across, every particular of the blessings that we come across in the Word of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We have everything, every spiritual blessing in Him. There is nothing we lack as we are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the book, but you come back to our text. And He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That is where our strength comes from, because we have been given everything in Him. He has accomplished everything necessary. And it is all ours in Him. And so, obviously, as the Apostle Paul is building on this great theme of our redemption in Christ Jesus, his final call is to be strong in the Lord. Don't lose sight of this great and grand reality. Don't cast your eyes and your hope and your strength from the one in whom we have all blessings. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And this is intimately tied, this reality is intimately tied to all that he is going to say regarding the armor. This is not a sermon on the armor of God. But as we begin to think about the reality that the Apostle Paul is putting forward here, there is not a huge brick wall in between verse 10 and verse 11. He says to us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength or the power of His might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. He is not saying, be strong in the Lord and then put on your armor and, you know, use your own strength. Look at the armor. Look at the list, right? This list is intimately tied to the reality of being strong in the Lord. As you think about this whole armor of God, he talks about the belt of truth. And you think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You think of the breastplate of righteousness that he speaks about here. And we think of the glorious reality of the fact that we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as we are united to him. You think about the gospel of peace. Peace with who? Well, as you come to the scriptures, the ultimate peace that is established is the reconciliation that happens in Christ Jesus between sinner and God. It is the gospel. And it is done and accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, above all, take up the shield of faith. Faith in who? It's not some nebulous faith. It's not some nebulous hope. It is the shield of faith, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, from which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The helmet of salvation, that glorious salvation that is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the Word of God. And we simply ask the question, what is the main theme? What is the golden thread? As so many Puritans like to say, what is the golden thread that runs throughout the entirety of the Word of God? What is the main message of the Word of God? It is the revelation of God's glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we take the sword of the Spirit that speaks to us of the glorious grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see even this very briefly as we begin to look at the armor, that this is not a call for us to pull up our own bootstraps. This is not a call for us to kind of come alongside and to do 50% God and 50% us. God will fight half the battle and you put on the armor and fight the other half. This is a call to be strong in the Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. In other words, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Each piece of armor ties together in the Lord. It is useless. It cannot be understood outside of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all aspects of our salvation in Christ Jesus. We put on Christ, as it were, each piece fashioned for us in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The finished, completed work of Christ on the cross. And so the Apostle Paul begins telling us that we have every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes and he says, be strong, finally be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might. There is no strength outside of that. And as I said to you a few minutes ago, I believe this is the issue at the heart and soul of the battle that we are engaged in. It is the battle to remain strong in the Lord. Verse 12, Paul begins to speak to us about our foe, our enemies. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If anyone wants to be successful in a battle, one cannot be successful if we do not understand our enemy. The Apostle Paul here speaks of the battle that we are engaged in. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we wrestle against these enemies, against rulers and authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. This is not a physical, tangible reality. This is not warfare as we would know it in terms of weapons of mass destruction and all of those kind of things. This is soul warfare. This is spiritual warfare. And the main goal of our enemy in this war is to separate us, if possible, is to separate us from the love of Christ. If they could, what is the goal? What is the aim of that which those who stand against the redeemed soul? But it would be to keep us from being strong in the Lord. To do everything and anything possible to keep our gaze fixed on anything but that which we are and that which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our knowledge of God, our fellowship with God, our communion with God, to distract us, to discourage us. And while we could get lost in all of the particulars, every ploy of Satan, every one of them, And he's been doing this from the beginning. Every ploy of Satan has this as its goal: to distract and detract from the finished, complete, sufficient work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners. This is his goal. This is his aim as the prince of this world. Every fad and distraction of this present evil age serves this purpose: to distract us, to keep us from being strong in the Lord, to cause our gaze to be averted to something else. Every evil desire of our flesh. And notice again the enemies: Satan, the world, and our flesh. Every desire of our flesh, and this is humbling and terrifying, that we have something within us, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that every one of us in this room has something in us. Our sin nature, conquered though it be in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still struggle with the flesh. The enemy that lies within, its goal, its desire, is to cause us to go against this call of being strong in the Lord. It is to find our satisfaction in something other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That each one of us has that reality, that struggle, that potential within us that delights when we are taken off the focus that we must have. All of us have that potential. All of us wrestle with the flesh. It is an enemy, and its goal is to keep us from being strong in the Lord, to find our satisfaction in Him. That is the battle that we are engaged in. That is the great reality that the Apostle Paul is setting before us, saying that this we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If so, we would, you know, marshal our troops and we would train with weapons and all of that. That's not the nature of what's going on. That's not the nature of the chaos that is all around us. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a battle for our souls, and the aim of our enemy is to keep us from being strong in the Lord. And that is why I say this becomes the essence of our battle. That we are called finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord. To live in the light of the reality that every spiritual blessing is already ours in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors, as Paul says. Already. Not because we're good enough, not because we have done enough, not because we're smart enough or wise enough or have memorized enough stuff. We have all of those spiritual blessings. Everything is ours. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. That's why. They come to us through Him. And as we live in the light of that reality, as we put on the whole armor of God, as we live in light of that glorious gospel, there we are strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is the battle. And it is important, it is essential for us to understand reality as it truly is. Right? Our battle, the war that we are waging, is not against the virus. It is not against an unbelieving government. It is not against any of them. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And our enemy seeks for us to be weak, to keep our eyes from being focused on where they need to be. It's a battle for the soul. And when we understand that, when that is laid down, when we begin to understand where the Apostle Paul is going with this, all of a sudden, we come to verses 18 to 20. and we can begin to see clearly what the Apostle Paul is doing in bringing us to this theme of prayer. He's not telling us simply that we must pray for one another, though, or for ourselves and for one another, although that is true. He is certainly saying that. It goes far deeper than that. And so as we focus then in the context of this battle on the verses 18 to 20, we're going to look firstly at what he says about praying for ourselves, and then as he transitions to the command, the call to pray for one another, to pray for the church, as we think of prayer in the context of this passage, the first thing we need to clarify here is that as he lays forth prayer, as he transitions to prayer in verse 18, some people, as you read commentaries, will say that prayer is another piece of the armor. They will go through and they will talk about, you know, all the different pieces of the armor, and they will treat prayer as the final piece of that armor that we are called to put on. For reasons that I've already outlined in terms of the rest of the armor being directly tied to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the language, which I'm not going to get into in great detail, as the Apostle Paul is writing these things, I do not believe that this is to be viewed as a final piece of the armor. Instead, I think it is abundantly clear that the Apostle Paul is using this theme of prayer as an umbrella. He has just talked to us, he has just called us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He has just called us to put on the whole armor of God, and he has detailed those pieces of the armor. And as an umbrella over the whole thing, he is now bringing us to this reality, this call to pray, that we must do so. We must be strong in the Lord, and we must put on the whole armor of God prayerfully. God has provided the armor in Jesus Christ. He has given us everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. We desperately need his help to be able to be faithful to this call of being strong in him, to live confidently in light of that which Christ has done for us. We need to plead with him for this very reality, that we would be successful in this battle of being strong in the Lord. Notice what Paul says here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He begins there in the first couple of statements as he's talking about praying for ourselves. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. At all times, in every circumstance of life. You could say it this way, pray without ceasing. Right? And as one comes to ask, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to close my eyes as I drive home on the 401? No. I hope not. Certainly not what it means. Pray without ceasing, to pray in every circumstance of life. He is talking here of a pattern of life, as a lifestyle, that we live in this world every second in light of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to this circumstance and we do so prayerfully. We come to this circumstance and we do so prayerfully. We come to this circumstance and we do so prayerfully. It doesn't mean we have to close our eyes and fold our hands, though there's a time and place for that. But it is to come across a struggle, a difficulty in life, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, oh my God, help me in this. Give me strength in this. The first thing that comes as you see the beauty of a sunrise is praise be to God. Right? It is to live life. Coram Deo. Prayer is a lifestyle. Communion with God. Like you would have a communion, and I don't mean this flippantly, with your spouse. You know, something happens in life and the first person that you want to tell is the person that is closest to you. And so you go home and what do? You tell them. It is to live in communion and fellowship with God, to pray at all times in every circumstance of life in the Spirit, right, with the help of the Spirit, by the rule of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, summarized so wonderfully in Lord's Day 45. And with all perseverance, with purpose and resolve, not just when it comes to our mind, not just when we think about it, but purposefully, with resolve, to live life prayerfully in this understanding that we are in a battle and that we are called to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You see, this call to prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, is given in the immediate context of the battle. He said, be strong in the Lord. He's told us to put on the whole armor of God. And then he says, pray always. It is immediately in the context of the battle, raging all around us for our very souls, that we would be a people of prayer, that we would be strong in the Lord and in the strength or the power of His might. I just want to pause for a moment and kind of flesh out how this works. The propensity of our heart, the inclination of our heart to go against this very thing, why we need to be praying specifically, why the Apostle Paul brings this to our attention in light of the battle. Because quite frankly, we have difficulty in this. This is a struggle for the human heart. It's easy to say, oh yes, we need to be strong in the Lord, but it is so difficult. And I want to give an example of both struggling with difficulties and also the flip side of that. When things are going wonderfully well and the propensity of our heart, as you think about difficulties, trials, struggles, we all know what that is. Some of us to levels that we will not understand. The words of the Apostle Paul that he despaired even unto life. Right? That despair, that trial, those difficulties sometimes get very difficult. Might be family issues. It might, who knows? But you think how so often we handle difficulties as Christians, as believers, how we handle difficulties. Is it not the propensity of our heart as we struggle and as we kind of grind through life in a difficult time, is it not the propensity or the inclination of our heart to begin to grumble and to begin to complain? To begin to say things like, why me? To begin to be bitter in our hearts, angry. I don't deserve these things. And we might not say it with our mouth, but we all know what it is to struggle. But you see what is happening there. As we go through the difficulty, our focus is on ourself. Why me? I don't deserve this. What did I do? Our focus is selfish. It is the propensity of our heart. What we are called to do here is to be strong in the Lord. Psalm 36, Psalm 1, as you think about that transition from thinking about the whirlwind of life to having our eyes of faith lifted to God. We are called to be strong in the Lord. Not selfish, not bitter, not angry. To understand that everything comes to us, good and not so good in terms of pleasantness, from the hand of a God who has said to us, I have given you everything in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you lack. There is nothing that anyone can do to you outside. There is nothing that anyone can take away from you that is going to alter your position in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have every spiritual blessing in Him. But how often we begin to focus on ourselves. This is precisely where we need to begin to plead with the Lord that we would be strong in the Lord. Protect me from pride, Psalm 36. Keep me from myself. Keep my eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to be strong in the Lord, because I struggle at this very point. And in case we think the struggle only comes with those who are struggling with difficulties, let's turn the tide a little bit, flip the coin, and look at those, the circumstances where we are, everything is going wonderfully well. Everything is just clicking along, right? Things are falling into place. Everything is wonderful. What is the propensity of our heart? The propensity of our heart, as the Word of God clearly teaches us, is to begin patting ourselves on the back. It is to begin to say, look what I have done. Look what I have achieved. Look what I have. Do you notice the similarity? It's self. Our heart always has the propensity to turn in on itself. In bad times and in good times, what we need to be praying and pleading for before the Lord is that we would be strong in the Lord. That we would recognize in the height of everything going wonderfully well that all good things come to us from the hand of a God who has given us everything in Jesus Christ. They all come from Him. And He disperses them as He sees fit. Not selfish, not prideful, not boastful, thankful. But is that not a cry, even in the good times, that we would be strong in the Lord? What I have as a blessing does not come from me. It comes from the Lord and through the Lord. You get the point. Right, whether we're talking about difficulties, whether we're talking, you know, about pleasant experiences in life, our battle is to be strong in the Lord. And it is at this very point that the Apostle Paul says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean that we are not to pray about our external circumstances. That's okay. We are to pray for our daily bread, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with praying for work or for whatever it might be. Nothing wrong at all. But certainly the point of the Apostle Paul here focuses our attention, not in praying for external things, but ties right back to the theme of verse 10, that we would be strong in the Lord, regardless of whether we have or don't, regardless of whether we are healthy or not, regardless of our external circumstances, that we would be strong in the Lord. This is what he attaches. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That we would keep our eyes firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not allow me, O Lord, to lose sight of the glory of my Redeemer. For this we must pray and plead. This is prayer for the church. It begins with ourselves. But then again, look with me here at what the Apostle Paul does as he continues to speak not only for prayer for ourselves, but prayer for others. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Right now we are ready to really focus on what it means, or what the Apostle Paul means here, in terms of what it is to pray for all the saints, to pray for one another. This isn't just some nebulous call to pray. This comes in the context of the battle. Paul says in verse 18 clearly, being watchful to this end. What end? the same end that he has just been dealing with. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication, not just for yourself, but for all the saints. Keep alert with all perseverance. Watch. Not only your own heart, but watch regarding all the saints. And in this regard, or with this in view, or to this end, pray for all the saints. You see, as we think about it, as we come to understand the battle and what is really going on, we begin to understand the weakness of our own hearts and how quickly we are so self-absorbed in the good times and the bad times, and how desperately we need God's help to be strong in the Lord. When we begin to realize that, and when we begin to sense this, and when we begin to grow in these things, all of a sudden we understand how to pray for one another. Because my heart is not different than your heart, and your heart is not different than my heart. If I know what it is to be selfish when things are going difficult, and maybe I won't say it because I'm a pastor and people would look at me very strangely for me to sit there and shake my fist at God and say, why me? If I understand the propensity of my heart to do that, and if I understand that I desperately need to be strong in the Lord, I certainly understand your struggle. And so you watch somebody go through a difficult time. You watch health decay. You watch difficulties at work. You, whatever it might be, you can say, okay, I'll pray for you. And you can pray, Lord, give them a job or fix their situation at work or help them to be, you know, allow the doctors to heal them. We can pray that. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the point of what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. When we see our brothers and sisters going through a difficult time, we understand the propensity of the human heart, because we understand our own. And we cry out to God for them, O Lord, keep them strong in the Lord. Keep them from pride. Keep them from bitterness. Keep them from anger. O Lord, I understand. Make them strong in the power of the Lord's might. Keep their eyes fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to pray for the saints in good times, right? You watch as, and you can watch it. Things are going wonderfully well, and you hear a little bit of a crack here and a little bit of a crack there. That pride is beginning to step in. The self-made individual. You don't go and wag a finger at them. You go into your closet and you pray, Lord, keep them strong in you. And I pray that for them because I know and understand my own heart. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and then being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That is what it is to pray for the church. As we understand the battle that is raging all around us, as we understand the weakness of our own heart, as we understand how difficult it is for us to heed this call to be strong in the Lord. How often self takes over. We plead for our own souls and we pray for the saints. Not just about externals, but in the context of the battle, our war is not against flesh and blood. It is a battle to be strong in the Lord. And I want to end this afternoon staying in the book of Ephesians, but in light of how Paul brings us to this conclusion in the book, we have two examples in the book of Ephesians of Paul recording his prayer for the church. And I'm just going to simply read them. But listen for his focus. Listen what he is really pleading for as he is praying for the church. The first is found in Ephesians 1, verse 15 and following. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Right? Pray without ceasing. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, our enemies. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can we not boil this down to a cry, a plea of the Apostle Paul, that they would be strong in the Lord? And then Ephesians 3, the other prayer that is recorded, verse 14. And following. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Again, how do we summarize the cry of the heart of the Apostle Paul for the church? That they would be strong in the Lord. That they would put on the whole armor of God. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And that we would be able to comprehend the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is to be strong in the Lord. That is the battle that we are engaged in. And that is where we need to focus our prayers, especially tying these things together today, especially in the circumstances of which we find ourselves, when chaos is growing all around us, when people are going through difficulties, when, you know, all of these things are swirling around. That we not only find our quiet calm from Psalm 1 in knowing the Lord, but that we pray very specifically for ourselves and for the church, for all the saints, that we indeed would be strong in the Lord, that we would not be allowed to divert our gaze, our attention, but that we would be strong in the Lord. This is our calling. This is the great work of the church. To pray, to plead, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let us pray together. O Lord, our great and glorious God in heaven, once again we come to you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, O Lord, for the reminder that we have that in Christ Jesus we lack absolutely nothing. There is nothing more that we need. There is nothing more that could be given. We confess to you, O Lord, we know the weakness of our hearts. We know how easy it is to be diverted, to be selfish. And so, O Lord, we thank you for the call that you have given us even this afternoon. And we pray for ourselves, we pray for one another, we pray for your church in this land, that indeed we would be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We pray these things in the great and glorious name of our King Jesus. Amen.